Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. How many of you remember the movie Steel Magnolias? Any of the guys here see Steel Magnolias? Did you see it on your own? Okay, it was really, it's a movie, I mean, I don't know if you want to say iconic movie, but it's a movie that really talks about the friendship of women who are so very, very different, aren't they? I mean, they're so unique. And there's a scene in this movie, and Carl said, yeah, that's really not a pretty scene. But it wasn't a pretty scene, hence the reason I don't have a picture up here, because Carl's like, yikes, that's not good. So when I describe the scene, you'll remember it if you've seen the movie. So it is Shelby, who is the daughter of Melinda, her mother is Sally Field, and Shelby is played by Julia Roberts, and she is having her hair done at Dolly Parton's house shop, okay, where it's set in the South, and she's having her hair done, and they're chit-chatting, everything's good, and all of a sudden you can see, they kind of give you a perspective of what's happening with Shelby, the room is spinning, everything is going, you don't really know that much about her, but she begins to have a seizure. And she is a diabetic, and her mother says she has too much insulin in her body, so we need to get her orange juice. And her mother is trying to force this orange juice down her throat. Does anybody remember this particular scene? Okay. And so the others are like, you know, and her mother's talking to her, and Shelby is so wanting to be independent that this doesn't happen to her. And you know, her mother is just saying, take it. And her mother's like, you know, and Shelby is saying, like, I don't need you to do this for me anymore. I'm a big girl, blah, blah, blah. Well, as she's like, sure, shoving this orange juice down her throat because she doesn't want to take it, Sally Fields begins to talk to the other women who are there, the friends, right? They're all there because they're all going to the wedding. And she says, you know, it's the stress of the wedding. And she said, and, you know, with she's just got too much insulin in her body. And the doctor also told her that he recommends that she doesn't have children because her body can't handle it. And all of a sudden, you see Julia Roberts' face, right? She's starting to come out of the seizure. And she says, don't talk about me like I'm not here. Anybody ever have that happen to them before? Don't talk about me like I'm not here. It's that conversation that somebody starts to have with other people while you're in the room. It was a great scene. Will and Grace is back on television again. There's a scene where Will goes to a baby shower and there's two young teenage girls and I don't know, they're chit-chatting with him. He's talking about this relationship that he had. And so they start to analyze his relationship in front of them. And he says to them, hello, I'm right here. Like, you're talking about me like I'm not here. And then they continue on and on and on. And then they start talking about him again as if he's not there. And he says, again, right here. Anybody ever have that happen to them? Oh, thank you, Larry. I knew. What did I say when I saw you this morning? You're going to so identify this. And here's why. Because I do it all the time with my husband, especially since my brother-in-law. He's laughing because since my brother-in-law moved to town, he lives like 5 doors away from me. And Carl and his brother they're so similar they could be twins. Only one had dark hair. You can't tell anymore. One had dark hair. One had light hair. One had brown eyes. One has blue eyes. But other than that, their mannerisms are so similar. And they're, you know, we all have our idiosyncrasies, but now I have somebody to talk to about it. So we're coming home in the car, and I'm talking to my brother-in-law's wife, and I'm saying, you know, Carl does whatever. And it's nothing mean. Nothing. You know, Carl does whatever. Does Joe do that? Oh, Joe does that all the time. And it's like, and Carl does, yeah, dude. All of a sudden, I hear from the back seat, because we're sitting in the front seat, I'm driving, hey, don't talk about me like I'm not here. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you were here. And then we'll change the subject, and then we wander back to that. And we start talking again, and I hear, again, I'm here. Now, can anybody identify with that? Because there's nothing bad that we're saying. We're just analyzing the situation while the person is there. We're like talking for the person. Happens a lot. As a matter of fact, it happened in our gospel this morning. Did you realize that? Jesus is talking with God, because that's what's happening. He's talking right in front of the disciples. And this type of conversation, I talked with the kids about it this morning, is what we call prayer, but it's a type of prayer. It's what we call an intercessory prayer, where someone is praying on our behalf or on behalf of another. Do you realize that's what we do here every single week? Right after the sermon, we go into intercessory prayer. We're praying for others, whether they realize it or not. So we pray, it's very methodical, or I would say there's a group that we pray for. We pray for the church worldwide. We pray for the earth. We pray for leaders, not only our leaders here in our community, but also in the United States and worldwide. Whether those leaders, we agree with their leadership, we pray for them. We pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who are grieving. We pray for those who are celebrating. And you know what? We pray for ourselves and our faith community. So what's happening here is that there's an intercessory prayer. Jesus is praying for the disciples. And it's happening while they're in the room at the Passover meal. They get to hear Jesus praying for them. I remember the first time someone prayed for me about something I didn't realize was coming. You see, the disciples didn't get all of this. And I remember when that happened to me. And it was during my internship. There were lots of things that were happening in that internship church at that time. And a leader from the synod came. And she sat with me and she said, "So tell me, how is everything going here?" I'm like, "It's okay. You know, I tend to not, you know, like disclose everything that's happening." And she said, "I want to pray with you." And she proceeded to pray that I be given strength, that I be given courage, that I be given the fortitude, the wisdom, the words come on my lips for what was going on. And I was overwhelmed by that prayer because she knew things that I didn't know. And she knew that I would be involved in things that I didn't know. It was the most powerful prayer that anyone had ever prayed for me. It affected me, and I remember it to this day. That's what it must have felt like for the disciples. They probably didn't realize at that time, but think about what that must have been like. Jesus senses their anxiety, their confusion, and their fear, and Jesus prays for them, and they get to hear it. Jesus knows that this has been a tough time for them, and Jesus prays for them about that, and they get to hear it. Jesus knows that he's going to be leaving soon, and no matter how many times he has told this to the disciples, they still don't get it. So he knows he's going to be leaving them soon, and Jesus prays for them, and they hear it. They may not have understood everything, but guess what? They heard it. And what is this prayer that they get to hear? I don't know about you, but if you've only heard this passage for the first time, it could be the most confusing passage that you've ever heard. You have to dwell in it for a while, where it's like, I'm going to dwell in you dwell in me, we're all together, we're all happy. It's like it's repeated over and over and over again. But here's the prayer that Jesus is praying, that these disciples are kept safe, that they're protected, and that they're guarded. This prayer is one that they are made ready for God, for service in God's name, through God's truth. You know, the word that is used here where God says that they're made ready, the word is the same word that's used in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." That's the same word. Hallowed be them in the truth, which is you. Bless them in the truth. Make them holy in the truth. These are all synonyms. Sanctify them in the truth. Bless them in the truth. Redeem them in the truth. Consecrate them. Make them sacred. That's what Jesus is praying for these disciples. Because that's what it's going to take to ready them. How awesome is that? That Jesus is praying for their blessing, for their holiness. And his prayer is that they may be one. One with each other. One with Jesus. One with God. And that in that being of one, they may have peace. When we think of the triune God, the Trinity, the three components, you know, that's a relationship that's going on in there. And here, Jesus is praying, Lord, bring them into this relationship. Because it's community. God is community by God's very own nature. And we're being invited into that community, each and every one of us. It's a powerful prayer these disciples get to hear, wouldn't you say? So here is what I left out, and here's what I want you to hear now. This is what Jesus says in the next two verses. I pray for these followers, but I am also praying for those who believe in me because of their teaching. Father, I pray that they can be one as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they can also be one in us. Did you hear that line? I pray for these followers, but I am also praying for those who believe in me because of their teaching. Who is that?
Us.
We get to hear Jesus praying for us. How powerful is that? We are included in this prayer. So Jesus prays that we are kept safe, that we are protected, that we are guarded. Jesus prays that we are made ready for service in God's name, through God's truth in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is praying that we are made holy in the truth, that we are sanctified in the truth, that we are redeemed, that we are blessed, that we are consecrated, that we are made sacred. What a powerful prayer. Jesus prays that we may be one with each other, with Jesus, and with God, and that in being one, we may have peace. And guess what? We get to hear all of this. This is not a one-time prayer for us, but this is one that happens again and again and again. So what is our response as we hear Jesus and God having this conversation with us present? I don't think that we're going to be ones that say, hey, stop talking about me like I'm here. Mm-mm, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to see like, hello, Jesus, I can hear you. I don't think we're saying, again, Jesus, I can hear you. No, 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 no. Our response is yes, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can hear you. And that's what we take away on this day. I can hear you. Amen.
Amen.